Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey y'all, I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 400.
Holy shit.
And this episode is a little bit different because we just got back from our cruise.
Oh my God, yeah. What are the odds that we're doing this for our 400th episode?
So while we were on the cruise, they recorded our live show. So this episode is going to be that live show, so y'all get to hear it. But, you know, we had to do our little intro because we wanted y'all to know all about this cruise that we had so much fun on. Because you know why? We're doing it again, February 2027. So if you hadn't heard, I'm going to, but Donna's sick, by the by.
Imagine that. You know, 400 episodes later, y'all know this. One of us is going to be sick.
We came back from the cruise. First night in, Colby wakes up with a cold. The next day, Donna wakes up with a cold. And here we are. They're both still sick. But I'm holding on strong.
Ooh, aren't you so lucky?
Knock on wood. So, okay. IRL is the company that we did this with. They host tons of different events, and this one was called Crime Wave at Sea. First ever Crime Wave at Sea.
It was fucking amazing.
It was. I told Brett, who's the CEO of IRL, I was like, I don't know how we got invited, but I'm so freaking glad we did.
I know. I kept saying, we're just honored to be here. He's probably like, God damn, just calm down.
We had such a blast. We got to meet so many amazing creators. Last podcast on the left, Side Stories was there, Scared to Death, Sinisterhood, True Crime Campfire Tales, Housewives of True Crime, Unexplained, and us, obviously. We had a live show, Avi, you're about to hear. We did, like, games. We did a meetup. Like, we went to other live shows.
Yeah, that was really cool. Just being able to meet your idols. And they're actually great people. Like, you know, sometimes you're like, I'm so scared that, like, what if they're not who you want them to be?
Yes. Okay, so the first, we're not going to go through, like, so the first day we, but the first day we had to get there. But the first day we had to get there early because they want to make sure that people don't miss the boat, you know? And so we had a hotel.
They know us.
Yeah, so we had a hotel. And we're sitting there, you know, eating pizza because that's us. And fucking Henry Zabrowski walks in and I was like, what? Y'all, that's Henry. Henry's here. I was like, oh my God, like I legit fangirled when I saw Henry Zabrowski from last podcast on the left. But they were so nice. I mean, because like they're huge, you know?
Yeah.
And like they were so nice. And
everyone was so encouraging. And
yes.
Yeah, it was just amazing.
So hopefully lots of collabs coming up because we're friends. Like, I don't know. I just feel like we're just like so cheesy being like, everybody's so nice. But they really were just so freaking kind. Like, I don't know. We had a really good time.
It's like, I'm so glad I had checked my emotions because at one point, like, they introduced us and like, because again, we're, you know, small fish in a big pond here. And, you know, of course we have, like she said, the Side Stories and all of that, they're like being introduced and everyone's
Sinisterhood,
like,
and they're yeah! like, wow.
And then it's like, oh, Paranormal Chicks. But everyone like screamed for us. And like when we got off, they're like, you did so good. And like high fives.
Yes.
And it was just so,
like the other creators were like, you did so good.
I don't know. It was the best ever.
Colby was so sweet because the first night we had like an opening ceremonies where they introduced all the podcasters. And Colby was like, it makes me so proud of you to like hear them call your name on stage and then all those people cheer for you.
Aw. Well, sucks for him because they were cheering for me.
Oh, my God. Okay. So one day was a pool day in Coco K. Perfect day at Coco K. And we met this amazing woman named Brandy. And she read our palms. And let me just say, she read Donna for filth.
Oh, my God. Like, when I didn't think someone could know me better than Carrie and Tiffany, Brandy knew me.
Brandy said, bitch.
You know how people say, talk to the hand? My hand was doing all the talking.
And Brady said, stop shopping.
She did. She was like, money's going to be there, but you got to stop shopping. I was like, how dare you say that to me? Everything she said, I was like, holy shit. Holy shit. Oh, fuck.
We did a Minute to Solve It game night. Y'all, it was so much fun. So you had to run from one end of the stage to the other with a set of keys and unlock a locked box. All the while, Michael Myers is chasing you. And your girl over here, me, not her, me, went first of everybody.
I know,
right? Because we were split into two teams. It was us, Sinisterhood, Scared to Death, and Richard from Unexplained.
Man, I loved them all.
We had, like, I loved everyone that was there. God, I don't know. I was like, but I really wanted to be on everybody's team.
I know, but God, I loved our team.
So needless to say, your girl was shaking like a leaf. My plantar fasciitis was itacin after that.
Y'all see the videos, but the way me and Carrie run.
In my head, I was going so fast. May or may not have tinkled a little bit. Ear farted a little bit.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Then we had to do a thing like where we had to flip a water bottle.
Oh, yeah. We had one extra person, and so I was out on that one, and then I was like, I'll be out on this one, too, because I cannot do flip cup.
I did pretty good on the flipping the water bottle. I was like, thank you, Peyton and Cole, my two nephews that love to flip water bottles, because I would do it with them. We had to do cornhole, and you had to like keep going until you got it. And let me just tell y'all, I am terrible at that. And I got it on the second one.
I really thought it was the first one, but
I did too.
Like, you would have thought she won an Olympic gold medal the way I was like, yeah!
I know. You did pretty good too, though. It only took you two rounds.
No, it took me three.
Well, still, that's way faster than I thought.
Okay, look. Everyone else had it, and it was down to me. And y'all, your girl was having trouble
breathing. But you won it for us.
I know, but your girl was having trouble breathing, and you had to go collect the three.
Donna come had back. Just gotten out of the hospital, sick with whatever the fuck this is. I was like, in through your nose, out through your mouth. And look, one day we were walking to one of our meetings. It was like the first day, and we got lost. And she legit had a little bit of a panic attack.
A little bit.
And so we were really working on our breathing while we were there, in through your nose, out through your mouth. So like, we're like on the stage and I'm like, in through your nose, out through your mouth. Like to Donna, nobody hears us but me and Donna.
Because also I was like, oh my God, please don't let me fart when I've been down to get these bean bags. But also, like, everyone was getting it. And I will say, I was the only lefty, okay?
Yeah.
But my God, Chris, you know, my boyfriend, he said, man, you have a lot of people around you that love you, though. Because Colby, when you were doing it, he was saying, come on, Donna. Come on, Donna. Come on, Donna. I said, me too. I was like, please, I can't go get these anymore. I am out of breath. But also, it was just so hyped and like we had a minute to solve it.
Yes, the word of the whole cruise I kept saying was vibe. I was like, this whole cruise is just a damn vibe. Like everything is just a vibe. Like, you remember how I was joking? I was like, we need extra Buse bar, we need gummies, we need everybody's extrovertedness to take with us. I didn't take anything. Like, I didn't even need an extra Boost bar for anything. Like, it was just such a vibe. Like, I was just feeling everybody else's energy. It was so positive and so much fun that, like, it was just a really great time.
All of the workers behind the scenes, all of...
every IRL employee, like, that was run so awesome. And it was their first one, so, like, it's only going to get better.
Yeah. Like, we really cannot say enough great things about that. Every day was great. Like, mm-hmm. and we had, like, busy days, but they never seemed bad because you're doing so much fun stuff.
Yeah.
With fun people, meeting new people, listeners.
So many, like, listeners that we met that, like... that had either never heard of us until they came to the live show, or like, hey, I listened to you because I saw you on the lineup, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, I don't know. I had a really good time.
Yeah. I guess I could just say, like, my heart is full of gratitude. My lungs not full of air, but my heart
alveoli still collapse. But
man, and have no fear. I did order from the kids menu, like, every night.
That bitch got her chicken tenders and fries every meal.
Well, let me tell you, I wasn't the only one that got fries or chicken tenders. Everyone was like, hey, wait, we can order?
Tabitha and Jenny from Housewives of True Crime, they sat with us at dinner, and they did get off the kids menu, too.
Uh-huh. They were like, wait, you can do that? Hell yeah, you can.
I really loved sitting with them for dinner. I loved everybody. I loved the True Crime Campfire Girls. Like, I loved everybody. Like, they were true to who they are on their shows they were in real life, you know?
Yes. Also, like, I was fangirling the whole time, too. It's just like, holy shit.
I know.
We're next to these people that we listen to all the time.
Oh, my God. I know. Well, I had seen Heather from Sinisterhood at the little Coke machine. And one night for our glow party, I had on this shirt, and it was like a ghost that was like iridescent-y kind of thing. And she, the little ghost girl, had on Crocs, because y'all know, you know, me and my Crocs, you know. And Heather loves Crocs, too.
Yeah.
And so I was like, look, she's wearing Crocs. And then later, she came by and was like, oh, my God, I was telling Christy about your shirt with your Crocs. And I was like, oh, my God, Heather was telling Christy about my shirt?
Yes.
Like, I got so pumped. And then when Henry made the joke about the name of our podcast.
Oh, my God. Like, literally, because Brett was like, it took me a minute or something.
Yeah, because, you know, it's... a paranormal, a pair of normal. And Henry was like, oh, like the Oneaters, like from That Thing You Do, The Wonders. Oh my God, I cracked up at that.
Oh my God, I cracked up and I said, oh, he made a joke about us and we understood it. And also I was like, damn, I really am that guy from The Wonders. Like, I really am him. Oh, gosh.
But we had a great time. Thank you so much, Lindsay and Margarita, for coming with us. We had such a blast with y'all. Hopefully, we'll see more of y'all next year. And, like, I literally can't wait for next time.
I can't either. Like, not to wish time away, because, you know, we'll be older. But I cannot wait. Also, we're going on a bigger ship, too. So I'm like,
I know.
I can't wait.
I've never been on, like, the biggest of the cruise line ships.
Yeah. Also, let me just say, Colby drove the whole way, and I was up for like 2 hours.
No, ma'am, you were not.
Total.
There and back.
Yes, 2 hours.
So there and back would be 24 hours in the car. Donna was up for 2 of them. Chris was up for maybe 3.
Oh, but the 1 hour he was up extra than me, he's ragging on me.
I didn't fall asleep once.
Nope. You wanted to at the end.
The end, I was hitting my max.
Yeah. But thank y'all for, you know, what y'all do, because without y'all, we wouldn't have been there.
Absolutely.
And if you're listening from the cruise, hey, thank you so much for following us.
Yeah. And we'll be back with our regular scheduled programming next week. Because they're like, shit, I've heard this episode.
But maybe you could make it to the...
yeah, and you'll be able to hear it.
Yeah. That. Hey y'all, I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
First of all, thank y'all so much for being here. And thank you to IRL for hosting this. This week has been so much fun. Are y'all having a blast? Like, last night I got back in the elevator to go up to my room, and they had already changed the sign to Wednesday, and I was like, damn, it's already Wednesday? Like, I'm so bummed. I'm not ready for it to be over. I'm having so much fun. So thank y'all so much for taking time away from your families to be here and support all of us creators, because it really does mean the world to us. This is why we do this, because we love y'all, and we have so much fun doing this, and this is exactly why we do it. So thank y'all so much for being here.
Also, she really likes to talk.
If y'all were fans, if you've listened to an episode, y'all know that I'm not the one. It's this one.
Also, is anyone else swollen? Because my hands are swollen, my feet are swollen. Okay, I'm like, whew.
So they were roasting me on the way in because I brought my like cobalt baseball fan in with me. And that son of a bitch died like the first night. I had my 3 batteries and like it died. It's no longer working. So I may die of a heat stroke while we're here. But, you know, we're making it. But again, if you've never listened to an episode, how it usually goes is Donna tells a paranormal or some sort of
weird, like what the hell kind of story.
Yes. And I tell a true crime story. And it's supposed to be kind of a comedy podcast-ish, but it does. We do tell heavier stories, so it's exactly what you think a true crime comedy podcast would be. And then on Thursdays, we release Sinister Sightings, where listeners send in their submissions of literally anything. It could be things that they've experienced, where they've had sinister experiences with the paranormal, any true crime that they've had in their towns or anything, like literally anything like that. We love a good ambient story. I love stories from if you work in medical facilities. My real day job is I'm an occupational therapist by trade. So I work in like hospitals and outpatient ortho clinics and stuff. So I love when it's like I work in a nursing home at night and, you know, little lady down the road comes in and says hi. You know, like those are the stories that we love. So
yes.
Also, anything like that, send it in.
Yes, I was going to say, you know, some weird shit has happened on this cruise. We want to know about it. Have y'all had any weird things? Send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com.
And by weird shit, she doesn't mean whatever the hell Henry was talking about with that suction thing with his shit earlier. We don't mean that because, whoa. And look, on our Patreon, we have a little mini thing where we called shit water. And I mean, I said whoa to him. So we have a shit water and I said whoa to him. No. Okay. So a little bit about us. Donna and I have known each other since second grade. We became best friends in high school.
Which was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time.
We're 40, so it's been a minute. My husband's back there. He was actually in our second grade class as well. But we reconnected in like 2019. So just picture him with his ultra blonde hair and rat tail and the rest is history. So, and then, yeah, Donna and I have been best friends since high school. We were roommates together in college and I moved away for a little while to Houston and then she came with me. And then she's like, I will find you.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have not. No. Oh, yeah. And then I have a boyfriend over there. And if you know anything about it, I say that all the time because I have not had a boyfriend in a while. And so it was like, woo.
It's like, Donna, we get it. You have a boyfriend. Okay. Jesus.
He's very shy. So, you know.
Well, y'all remember how I said the one thing I was going to look forward to the most coming back home would be my Miracle Made sheets? Well, night one, my fan died. And y'all, there is one thing I'm looking forward to the most when I came home was my Miracle Made sheets.
Absolutely. Look, the cruise was nice, but the sheets are not temperature regulating, okay?
No. Now, while I didn't really need the fact that the Miracle Made sheets fight bacteria and stay clean longer, like prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria, I didn't really need that, right? Because I wasn't on them for very long, you know, because they make your bed up. I don't know if they actually change them, but they make them up at the very least. And it's only 5 days.
Yeah. And they put the cute little towel animals on there.
Right. And, you know, I sit on a towel for a barrier when I need, you know. But did I need that temperature regulating while I was gone? Because Whether you wake up sweaty, freezing, or just uncomfortable, temperature in your bedroom can make or break your sleep. And that's why we switched to Miracle Made.
Like we've said 1,000 times before, they're inspired by NASA technology, and they use silver-infused temperature-regulating fabric to help you sleep perfectly all night long.
They feel good, if not better, than a 5-star hotel, but they don't have to come with that price tag. Because right now, you can go to trymiracle.com/creep and get Miracle Made sheets today for over 40% off. And then, when you use creep, the promo code at checkout, you're going to get an extra 20% off plus a free 3-piece towel set.
You can make your own towel animals.
And you remember how I told y'all that I have the towels too? I really do like those towels because they have the same technology that the bedding has. And so they don't get like stinky. They don't stay real wet. Like they just feel cleaner to me.
And I do not change out my towels as often as I should.
Nobody does. And if you do, you're lying. And with the holidays right around the corner, Miracle Made makes an amazing gift, either the bedding or the towels, because they don't got to know you got those towels for free.
So go to trymiracle.com/creep to try Miracle Made sheets today.
And with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there is no risk. So head to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code creep at checkout.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So what we'll do is I'll do my story first because, well, it's true crime. And it's, to be honest, y'all, it ended up being a little bit heavier than I wanted for a live, but it's a true crime cruise. You know what you signed up for. Whatever.
I also ended up being heavier than I thought I wanted to be, but whatever.
For this cruise, yeah. Samesies, which is why I'm sweating right now, actually. But okay. So we are actually going to be in Fort Lauderdale, and this story happens circa 1993. So we're talking about Maritza Martin. I'm sure it's pronounced Martin. So at the time of the story, she was around 33 years old, and she was from Cuba. She had been in the States for about a decade, and she was working super hard to help send money back to Cuba for her family because she still had a daughter that lived in Cuba. But before she came to America, she had married a man named Emilio Nunez, and they had a daughter, like I said, Yoandra, and the marriage was terrible. Things went south very, very quickly. They were like 18 when they got married. And so it is what it is. Emilio was volatile and controlling, and so it just was messy. So they got a divorce, and they just kind of made it work for their daughter. But Emilio got in some trouble because they were living in Cuba, and he started speaking out against the government. You can't do that in Cuba, right? So he gets arrested and gets sentenced to like a pretty long prison sentence. So while he's in prison, that's when she moves to the States and leaves Yoandra back at like back in Cuba to stay with her mom until she can get things set up in America for her to come over. So during this time, Emilio actually gets a shorter sentence because they made a deal with America and he came over via like an asylum deal that they had made. And everybody's doing their own thing. Like they both had remarried. Everybody's in America. They happened to kind of meet back up, but everybody's kind of doing their own thing, remarried, live your own life, but kind of try to come together for Yoandra. And things were going pretty good. Emilio wasn't really part of her life as much. And that part was kind of like, they just glossed over all of that of like, he's in her life, but he's not in her life. It was kind of confusing in the research. But she was like this really great student in middle school because she was around 10 when she came to America. So I'm sure that was a pretty hard transition for her as like a 10-year-old. I mean, can you imagine you've been living with your grandmother and your whole life is uprooted to go live with your mother that you've, I mean, she's your mother, but you've been living with your grandmother your whole life, you know? So she's doing really well in school at first, like while she's in middle school. But once she gets into high school, she starts having some trouble, starts hanging out with some different kids, skipping school. And in 1992, when she's 15, she starts really having some trouble.
15 was a hard age.
It really was. So this is where it gets really sad. So when she was 15, on Thanksgiving, Yolanda had actually asked her parents if she could clean their car. And then the very next day, they found her and she had died by suicide. Now, the parents had her mom and stepdad. They had a gun, but they kept it in the car. So she had asked to clean the car so that she could get the gun. So, of course, Emilio and Maritza are heartbroken because their 15-year-old had just died. And Emilio was, again, completely devastated. But instead of being just this grief and kind of coming together, his grief turned into anger towards Maritza. Now, he said that Maritza and Maritza's husband had failed their daughter and that she had let this happen. And he started talking about that Maritza had abused Yolanda. And it's like, wait, where did all this come from? But then maybe it wasn't from left field, because turns out there was a child services investigation saying that she had hit Yolanda with a belt. So, but that was like the only thing of any child service investigation, was just this one thing, and then it kind of went away. But what really spurred all of this, though, was that Yolanda had just found out that she was 13 weeks pregnant. And when she told Maritza, allegedly, it was a huge deal, and Maritza had slapped her. And so Emilio was like, this is your fault. You slapped her when she told you that she was pregnant. You're the one that did this. You and your husband murdered her. And so he was just very, very angry. Well, Maritza is just trying to live her life because she's obviously grieving from losing her daughter, but she has an 18-month-old with her husband. So she's trying to navigate this with, she's got her ex-husband who's like coming for her of, you murdered my daughter, but she's got this, you know, toddler that she's trying to take care of. And she's just trying to navigate everything and just keep it together. Well, by this time, though, Emilio is becoming obsessed. Like, he is like going to the cemetery every single day, telling everyone that would possibly listen to him that they're the ones that, you know, killed his baby. On January 18th of 1993, Maritza goes to the cemetery where Yolanda is buried to bring flowers to the grave. Well, when she gets there, she doesn't know that Emilio is actually there.
Oh, my God.
And this is where things go south. But Emilio is there with a news crew. There's this woman whose name is Ingrid Cruz. She's there with her camera operator, Jorge Delgado, and they are working on this segment for a show called It Happened Like This for Telemundo. So this is a show that, like, I don't want to say like shock jock, because I don't think that's what it is, but I think it's like a...
Like an ambush.
Yeah, they show everything. Like, it's like, I don't really know how to explain it. It's like there's no holds barred. Like, they're going to ask the questions of like a victim's family that you're like, why would you ever ask them that? Like, it's like, so it's not necessarily for the shock, but it's definitely for the ratings. Like, it's definitely, they're going to ask you everything.
Nancy Grace, but elevated.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So Emilio was there with them at the cemetery to get the story out because, again, he is obsessed with the fact that he feels like Maritza had killed his daughter. The segment is about the family, about the suicide, and when she pulls up, this is when all hell breaks loose. Maritza pulls up, and Emilio goes to get in his car and then blocks her in so that she can't drive away. And she was really scared of him because even in their marriage, like I told you, it was very volatile. Like, they had issues. And so, you know, we're definitely skimming the surface of what she had been through with him. I mean, he's got a news crew at the cemetery. I mean, let's be honest. They've clearly been through some shit, right? As a, like, that she's been like, Jesus Christ, he's got a fucking news crew here. Like, are you kidding? Like, so she's like trying to sit in the car, like, let me figure this out. She like writes down his license plate number because she's trying to be like, so if she's writing his license plate number down, she's also trying to protect herself because some shit's probably gone down. Meanwhile, Emilio's current wife and baby are in his car. So it's like the whole family's there, but he can only see red. So when he's in the car trying to block her in, she writes the license plate down and she goes to get out. And like I said, for this show, they're like cameras in your face. Like, you know, you're trying to like walk and their camera's like right here. Like, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And she's like, please just get the cameras away from me. I'm trying to go to my daughter's grave. Like, please just get away. And they're asking her all these questions. And as they're trying to do that, Emilio starts walking up. And Ingrid, the newscaster, is like, you need to get away. Like, you can kind of tell that this is going to go south. And she's like, no, you really should probably get away. And all of a sudden, Emilio pulls out a gun and he shoots Maritza 12 times.
Oh, my God.
Like, shoots her once and she falls to the ground and then proceeds to shoot her 11 more times and empties the clip. So this is literally all caught on camera because they're filming this whole thing for this news segment.
Is this by their daughter's grave?
Yes.
Oh.
So they're like scrambling, still recording this because, you know, the show must go on apparently. And they're like scrambling, call 911. You can hear on the video that they're like, this guy's going crazy. Like he's shooting, calling 911. And they're yelling at him to get away. And finally, he just like runs away. So they're trying to figure out what's happening. The police get there pretty quickly. And then it wasn't long before the police arrested him. Now you've got this news footage and it's like, okay, what do we do with it? Because they're like, we can't just sit on this, right? But keep in mind, we're in the early 90s. Right now, they would be like, immediately airdrop it and upload, right? We've all seen the recent murders that happened on like basically live TV and we watch it, right? But this was a kind of a pinnacle thing because it's like, this is very serious and we have it. What do we do with this footage? And so what they ended up doing within hours of this murder is editing it down a little bit and airing it.
Like all of it?
Well, they did kind of blur some stuff out and edit some of it, but it was so graphic that people thought it was reenactments because they had never seen anything like this on like real TV of real people. And so they were like, this can't be real, right? This has got to be like a reenactment. Like we got to be watching ID or something. Like this cannot be real, right? But it was. And so this was, like I said, a really pivotal point in how the media started using videos in cases and all of that of like, what do we show and what do we not? Well, then it actually became a big part of the case because you think like, we've literally got this on tape. This should not like open and close case, right? This should not be this long drawn out thing. But this case took 7 years to go to trial.
7 years to go to trial, not even all the stuff.
Yes. So after his arrest, Emilio's attorneys were, I'm like, can I get their number? Because I need to, and I don't have money for a retainer, but I feel like I could maybe slip them a five or something. I got a Bahamas quarter from the people at the place when I bought my magnet yesterday. Maybe I could slip them that. Because they were really, 7 years they kept him out. So basically they said that he was mentally unfit to go to trial. And so they did multiple evaluations on him. Like they even sent him away for psychiatric treatment. And then it became, do we or don't we allow the tape in the trial? Because the defense is like, it's too prejudicial. Because basically it's too graphic. It'll sway the jury. And I'm like, yeah, because it's fucking murder. Like, I mean, yeah, it's you literally killed her at your daughter's grave.
And you invited them there.
Yeah. You fucked around and found out. Literally. So basically, okay, everything was like, and you know, this is Broward County in the 90s. Everything's taken so long. And did y'all, every time I hear Broward County, I immediately go to Dr. G Medical Examiner. Did y'all watch that show? I freaking love that woman. She was such a badass. What's she doing now? Retired probably on a yacht, but she did not get the Bahamas quarter that I got. But basically, it took forever because of the appeals, because of the thing, or not appeals, but the mental competency hearings and all of that. But it did finally go to trial. Now, they were also like, is it first degree or is it like a crime of passion? Because he, I mean, really, I can kind of see how it would be a crime of passion because he really didn't plan it.
But he had a gun.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a coincidence that she was there.
At their daughter's grave.
True. But he did go every day. So I'm like, the odds of you eventually seeing her, pretty fucking high. I mean. So eventually, like I said, it went to trial. Drink every time I say that. And he was found guilty. And it took like a couple of hours. Like they were like, bitch, we saw the footage. We know, we know, we know. And he was given life with the possibility of parole after 25 years because of what the laws were back then. So if he was convicted now, he'd be life in prison with no parole. So he is eligible for parole right now. And I, look, I did my Google ways and I did an inmate search and I looked him up, but that's a pretty common name. And so I
couldn't. Wait, what was his name?
Emilio Nunez. And I mean, in Fort Lauderdale,
yeah.
Miami area, like it was, it's a pretty common name. And so I'm pretty positive he's still in prison, but I don't know. I'm going to be honest. So if you know, let me know because
we're not sending him anything on his commissary.
Yeah.
No.
So, but again, this story was heartbreaking, of course, because not only their poor daughter, I just think about their poor daughter. She just, we don't, neither one of us have kids, but I have a niece and nephews, and I always tell them, like, there's literally nothing on this planet that you can do to make me not love you or help you or anything. And, like, that their poor daughter felt like there was no way out, and that is literally what spurred this whole thing on. And, like, just we always talk about the domino effect or the ripple effects of how murders, it just impacts everyone. And this is exactly one of those cases of that, you know, this tragedy for this poor teenager, just it was this ripple effect throughout their whole family. So hopefully this motherfucker's still in prison.
I just can't believe he had 7 years out.
I'm telling you, those attorneys were good. I mean,
like people for drug charges can't get anything, facts. You know, and it's like,
I know. Housewives of True Crime were doing a murder for hire. And I was like, damn, they got so much time. And I'm like, But not enough. I'm like, why do we not give people the same amount of time for just sucking at their job? Like, you couldn't finish the job, so you don't get enough time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We used to cover I Survived on Patreon, and it was always like, yeah, you picked the wrong person. Like, this person's a badass. They, you know, climbed up a mountain with no arms, no legs anymore. And then you're like, oh, it was attempted murder. Yeah. And I'm like, you've really tried all, but they, persevered?
Yeah.
I'm not great with words, y'all. You too could be a podcaster, even if you suck. Okay, so I also did a Fort Lauderdale. I was trying to do, like, Nassau, like, you know. And then I was going to do, like, a ghost ship thing. And then I was like, too close, you know. Like, sometimes when it's rumbling and then I look in the mirror because there's so many mirrors in our rooms, I'm like,
I'm not gonna lie, that mirror on that bed, though. I mean,
I mean, yeah. So we always kind of start off because we love Golden Girls. And so we always kind of start off as picture it. So picture it, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 1901. And at this time, way back then, Fort Lauderdale was a tiny settlement. It was called New River. Which reminds, we have like an old river road. Do we have a new river road in where we're from?
Colby.
Yeah, he knows everything. No. Okay. It's just like, why, how did those get done? Like old, new?
Literally, when we were at the show last night, he texted me. He was like, okay, when you come back to the room, take the elevator up, take a left. Don't forget you got to come up this. Like he gave me directions to get back to the room. So that's what I'm like, do we have that road? I don't know.
I'm really bad at directions. I'm just like, by the McDonald's, turn left. You might see a Wendy's, turn right. Like, that's it. But so anyway, there wasn't like a McDonald's or Wendy's there. There were just like a few homes scattered around this new river. And that was really the only way they could travel. But right on the riverbank stood this really nice house. It was a two-story wooden home, and it was called the Strananan House. And
the what?
Strananan.
How many times did you practice that word?
Not enough, because I think I just fucked it up.
And not an R in sight, and you still fucked it up. Y'all should hear her say rural.
Look, I can't even say...
You know what? No, wait. She really can't. Donna, what cruise line are we on right now?
Royal Caribbean. You know, ours are very hard. Okay, it is actually Stranahan. Oh my gosh, Stranahan. And anyway, so I had fucked myself up because every time I say Stranahan, I keep thinking of banana hands. Did y'all ever watch Shallow Hal, or is that way too niche? I don't know, because we're all so old. But it was, that's just a thing. And so every time I'm like, banana hands. So, okay. Ooh, anyway, it was built by a man named Frank Stranahan, hopefully.
We think.
Okay. So he was kind of the town's like unofficial mayor, banker, postmaster, like everything. He was jack of all trades. You know, whatever. And really just like the go-to guy. You needed something, you go to old Frank. Well, he opened up a trading post on the first floor. And that's where the settlers, the indigenous people could come. And that was the Seminole people. And they traded everything like, you know, pelts and all the things.
But in Florida? What do you use a pelt for in Florida? Like, I feel like it's hot. Am I stupid? I probably am. Don't answer that.
But I don't know, but when I think of a pelt, I think of the thing that you do
down there.
Yes, down there. Like the yes. Yeah, thank you.
You know that? Hold on. That was our trivia team name one time, Twerking My Merkin.
Look, some things people don't need to know, okay? That was behind the scenes. But like when I think of a pelt, I don't know why, but it's just like furry down there. Whatever.
Okay.
You know. I had- She took a Buspar, I'm sure. Okay. But so they were deeply connected to the Seminole tribe, like where some settlers wouldn't want to, you know, deal with the indigenous people. They really were like the hype people. And Ivy was especially. And Ivy is his wife. And she was kind of like a go-to person herself. She came in. And she was the only teacher in this, like, one-room school, you know. And so it was like, you needed to know something, you went to Ivy. And she also helped the Seminole people. She let them come to the classroom, all of that. So Frank was, like, the go-to guy. But Ivy, everyone said, like, she was kind, she was fair, she was tough as nails. But when I was reading that about her, I was like, oh, God, did they say she lit up a room? Because, yes. Like, is this going to be a dateline? Is she gone missing? What's going on? But it's not a dateline yet. But, you know, like, life for a while was good. But the settlement grew. And that means that they, like, their importance grew, too, because they were, like, the heart of the new river place. And everyone kind of hung out at the trading post, and like it was like the it thing, you know, like you wanted to go have coffee, you go there. Like, I don't know about you, but her dad, he always had his like group of people that would go to have coffee every morning. It was like old men gossiping and stuff, you know, like they would do that here at this place. But like I said, it isn't a dateline yet, but it does go a little awry because by the 1920s, Fort Lauderdale was no longer the small settlement. It was booming. And Florida land had crashed then, like where it was like, everything's coming up. Yes, yes, yes. McDonald's here, Walmart here. But then everything, like the two hurricanes hit. And so it was just really bad. And then the Great Depression rolled in. And Frank was like heavily invested in land deals. And I mean, he was like the monopoly man, like buying up everything. And then, you know, like, what happens? Have y'all played Monopoly where you buy up all the things and then you land on something? And you're like, well, I'm bankrupt. Like, can I just, like, sell some real estate? That's what happened. And when the bottom fell out, it hit him hard. He was losing money. You know, he couldn't provide for his family. He was losing hope. And he just kind of had, like, this part where he would just kind of disassociate, go by the river at night, just kind of pace and try to figure out, like, how am I going to get this back? How am I going to, you know, like, turn our lives around? But then May of 1929, he walked out to the edge of the river, and right in front of his home, he tied an iron gate around his neck, and then he stepped into the water.
Oh, my God.
And then the current pulled him under, and unfortunately, he did die by suicide. And so the town was shocked because this was, like, their go-to guy. And, like, if someone was going to turn it around, it was going to be Frank. Like, how do we – what do we do? Where do we go from here? Ivy was, of course, devastated. This was the love of her life. This was, you know, her right-hand man. But she ended up staying in that house until she died in 1971, which I feel like is a little odd because sometimes, like, they, like, sell it right after that or
– Oh, see, I think they usually stay.
No, I would sell it right after that.
I don't know. I feel like I would stay. I want to be, like, with them if they're there, you know.
That's true.
His spirit's there. Stay with him.
That's true, but also kind of eerie. I don't know. Because it's like you have to look out at the river.
True. That is a very tragic
did that,
death, too,
you know.
Though. That's
so
different.
Yeah. And, of course, we're going to get to the hauntings now because that's why we're here. Unless you were here for the true crime, and sorry, now you have to stay for the ghost. But they say most of the hauntings start with Ivy. You know, her spirit still lingers. She didn't want to leave, and she hasn't left. But not in, like, a scary way, more of a protective, I love my house. You know, she kind of guides people to help them. There's a story about a caretaker, and he was up on the ladder just trying to adjust something. And I'm like, good for you, because I can go on the second rung. Basically, that's it. But he was trying to adjust something, and he almost fell, but he felt something on the small of his back. And he turned around thinking, oh, it's one of the coworkers. Like, man, someone's got my back. No one was there. And so he really thought, like, how he was touched was kind of feminine anyway. And so he attributes that to Ivy. And I just have to say, and Chris is probably going to die, but we were listening to something, probably Dateline, and they said the small of the back. And he's like, what's the small of the back? And I'm like, I know I'm a big back, but everyone has a small back, okay? There's a small back. Like, God, you know, but whatever. He keeps me humble, okay?
Tell me you're a chubby tasher without Tell me. What? I spell toast. Hold on. Let me try that again. Tell me you're a chubby chaser. Got it. Without telling me you're a chubby.
Yeah,
chubby.
Like.
He's like, what's a small back?
Small of the back. Yeah. Like where your hand would go. And it's like,
you know,
kind
of. It's like sexy when you lead him into a room. You know, that thing.
It's sensual. Also, that was like, okay, Ivy, I see you. You like the handymans are good with their hands. Like you were just like, here you go. Anyway, back to the haunting. So with Ivy, people say they smell her perfume, and it's usually like floral, like gardenias. Don't know what that is.
It's a plant.
It's a flower. Plant and flower are different.
I could kill it, I bet.
She's killed a aloe vera plant.
True story.
It heals, she kills. But also lilacs. I do know that one. And they say that that is the same scent that Ivy would wear. And even when, like, windows are shut tight, there's no air, which, God, but they smell this. They also see a figure in white moving past the window overlooking the river. And, like, why does everyone wear white? Like, do they not get barbecue stains on it? Me and Tim McGraw do. Niche. Okay. No one remembers that. It was a hit, I swear. So then we go to Frank, and his presence is a little heavier. He's not seen super often, but when he is, they say it feels really intense. There's people saying that they've seen a man on a porch just standing perfectly still and staring towards the river, and like how I said, he would kind of disassociate, which we all do, but it really seems like it's him. And then some people say that they have seen him take a step forward into the river and then vanish. And I'm like, well, hopefully you checked and just to see if like, oh, that's just Frank. Of course, because like it went through different people having it, the house kind of fell into disrepair. And then someone was like, oh my God, this history needs to be told. And they turned it into a museum. So you can go visit it. All the things. And before it was a museum, it was kind of a home for transient people. They just kind of stayed around. And one man said that he heard a metallic, like, loud crash. And he's like, oh, shit, I got to go. Like, you know, I need to do this. But when he got up, no one was there. And he saw a tall shadow near the porch. Just kind of stood there and then vanished.
Same toast up,
yeah. It vanished into thin air. And so he was like, peace. Okay, I can go back to bed. But, you know, no one was there. Then there's also a legend about an indigenous girl, a Seminole girl, who had come to their house being sick. And of course, a lot of people would turn the indigenous people away. Ivy was like, I got you, girl. Like, we're going to go through this. And she tried to care for her, but the girl didn't survive. And they said that her spirit has been seen around the front porch, sometimes kind of a flash of movement because she's young. She's, you know, like spry, all the things. But there's been giggles caught on EVPs during the ghost tours. They've also heard a child's voice saying candy, which I'm like, Mandy Moore, maybe? Again, niche.
That song they knew.
Yeah, thank you.
Tim McGraw, yes. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Everyone knows Mandy Moore. Come on. But then also they have found candy just hidden in places. And I'm like, that girl is not Carrie because Carrie does not share her food, okay? Colby can attest to that. He'll be like, can I just taste? No.
I'm like, what kind of candy? I'm just picturing like nerd clusters around. Like,
if it was Colby, it would be nerd ropes or whatever. But then there's one more spirit, and it's Pink, who's Ivy's younger sister. So she had moved into the house when she became pregnant, but she ended up losing the baby and died not long after. But her spirit is said to stay close to the parlor. They've heard the faint sound of a baby crying, and they've also seen two orbs of light floating together in a room. And so they kind of say one's smaller than the other. And so they're together. So kind of attesting to what you said, like you would stay in the house because of that. But also, I just don't like someone around me 24/7. Can you just go for a minute? Like, God, leave me alone. Ugh, I just need to watch Love Island in peace. They've also said like cold spots, you know, the normal things. Doors are shutting, opening themselves. Cupboards are open. If you went in her house, you would think her house is haunted because her cupboards will just be open all the time. And I'm like, my God, this is a scene from The Conjuring. Like,
first of all,
this is a scene from all the things.
First of all, when did you start saying cupboards? We are from South Mississippi. We don't say cupboards. Second of all, I have ADHD. I can't help it. Yeah, I've moved on to the next three things.
Apparently, Ivy's father, Augustus, he not, I was going to make another niche thing.
Willy Wonka. Yes. Galoot.
I can't help it, but I always said his name wrong. I said Galoot.
It's Galoot, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Don't trust me on anything. But he still makes his appearance known. He'll knock books off the shelves like, what an asshole. But okay, he'll slide items off the table when no one's near them, and they just kind of joke that it's him keeping watch, maybe not liking how, like, the place has changed over the time, and I'm like, move on, dude. White light, all the things. Why am I so mean?
I was just thinking that. Time? You're not having these ghosts today.
No, but, like, why are you going to, like, be a cat and just knock things off, you know? Like, anyway. But a lot of the people say it feels different room to room because you have Ivy, you have the dad apparently just wreaking havoc. There's downstairs where the trading post was. They say that you can hear whispers of conversation like they were having, you know, a bartering thing. Like, here's some milk. Here's a pelt. Whatever. The Merkin. Isn't there? Oh, a Birkin. I was like, what's that? Okay, yeah.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Very true. Oh, gosh. But they also had a tour guide that said that she was closing up one night. Everyone was gone. Lights were off. And as she locked the front door, she heard a woman's voice behind her say, thank you. And so she turned around and no one was there. She said it didn't sound spooky. It was more really like full of gratitude. And so she just attributes that to being Ivy and being happy that someone's, you know, taking care of her home, locking it up, you know, turning off all the lights, which I don't do. a lot of people say, like, it is peaceful. Other nights, not so peaceful. So there's been some paranormal investigators, not Zach Bagans, but they said that they heard what sounded like a splash of water. And so they went out to see, like, what happened. Was it anyone? And there was no one there. And there were ripples coming out of the thing. And I'm like, again, did y'all just kind of look around a little bit more? Because this one and me, we are very clumsy. We'd be like, oh, we're just going to set this mic up right here to catch something and just...
Yo, I tried to stand up a second ago. I was standing on my dress and almost face planted. We are clumsy.
Yeah, and being on the ship, sometimes I'm like, I'm really not drunk. I have not drank anything, a sip, besides the freestyle water thing, like the soda package. But you're teetering. Mm-hmm. If y'all didn't understand my joke, what I was saying.
Thank you.
You know, do y'all ever just like, you're saying something in your head and then you just like mid-sentence say it and you're like, wait, did you not... follow me? No, oh, no, didn't. You're not in my head. It's big enough for y'all to be in there, but no. They say that there's been, you know, people who feel someone following them from room to room. They'll see faint reflections of a man, again, standing out by the water, a woman in a mirror, which I think is why I don't like all the mirrors in the room, because I'm like, ooh, oh, that's me. Okay. You know, like, but also I do not need to see me 360 all the time.
There are sometimes it's nice, though.
Well, if the boats are rocking, we know what's going on. Y'all are like, let's just try out that mirror.
Like, what is that shit going on the ninth floor?
Well, some of us are on the second floor. If you take a tour, not of her cabin, she doesn't have the upside-down pineapple. Her and Colby
we did see one today, though. We did, at first one, I was like, oh, okay.
Did you knock on the door? Just checking. Just seeing. I don't know.
No, I am far too jealous. No, thank you.
I told them that I did accidentally wear a pineapple shirt, but it had like, it was just pink and it had pineapples on it. And then at the end of our last cruise, I was like, no one even like came up to me. Like... I didn't mean for it to be there, but, like, you could have just made me feel better. I've been like, hey, hot tub later. And then I've been like, ew, no, why? Oh, okay.
I mean, no kink shaming.
No, no kink shaming.
Especially you, ma'am. If you listen to our show, this bitch.
I don't kink shame, but, you know, like, I have a boyfriend now, and he doesn't do that. So it's like, I'm like a good girl. But...
you know, I'm not touching that. Because if you know, you know.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Don't make my nipples hard up here.
There you go. Okay. There she is.
But so people have caught things on cameras. Batteries drain like her fans.
It wasn't the batteries. The innards stopped working.
What else?
Much like Henry's earlier. The suction, you know, remember?
I think everyone was there, okay? Yeah. We were all there for that. Oh, my gosh.
Y'all are like, get on with this shit.
I'm sorry. This is us. We do tangent times, and I'm sorry. But they've heard, like, you know, different things. And when they called out, like, is anyone there? Like on Titanic, not to bring that up. But we all know that one part where they're like, is anyone out and there? She's like, here, you know, after she killed Jack.
She did.
Just, there was
room. Yeah, there's room. Justice for Jack.
I mean. But they call it a whisper and stuff, you know, so they're like, oh, this is intelligent. It's not just residual, besides Frank, apparently.
What a dig for Frank. A dumb son of a bitch.
No hate for any ghost here, I swear. Okay.
Oh, good. But I'm hot.
We can't turn on the fan. It interferes with the recording.
Sure?
But the house has been restored. It's great. We all should go. If we go back to Fort Lauderdale, come out, we should all be there. Are we going to be there?
No, we're not.
Okay. Well, never mind. Next time. But the guides just talk about, like, they don't feel threatened. And that's why they continue to work there, to keep telling the story much nicer than I did apparently today. I woke up and chose violence.
You did. You are usually way more empathetic to these ghosts today. You called him dumb.
I did not.
You said he was not intelligent.
That's called residual. That's not dumb. Just means, like, you know, you're...
I know. I'm just kidding.
He's a lazy ghost, I guess, okay? He's just doing the same thing. But, yeah, so anyway, they say it's not really haunted because of tragedy. It's more haunted out of love. The love for their house, the love for the people, the love for the, you know, the town that they kind of founded. And, you know, you could feel that Ivy's the one who's there most of the time. It's her heart. Again, she doesn't want to leave. Yeah, if you're back in Fort Lauderdale, let us know if you go, because apparently we're not going. We're on a time crunch.
We got a 12-hour drive when we get off this boat. We ain't going. Yeah.
Don't worry, I go to sleep. Yeah. But that is the story of the Stranahan House.
And that's all. Thank you. Thank y'all so much for listening and supporting us. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things, and remember,
creep it real and don't get scared.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.